テワスデバヤ。We're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the 8th chapter entitled The Theme Supreme, text number 19.
Bhuta grama sa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate racha gane vasa parta prabhavyatar agame.
Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living beings come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they're helplessly annihilated. Purport. The less intelligent who try to remain within this material world may be elevated to higher planets, and then again must come down to this planet Earth. During the daytime of Brahma, they can exhibit their activities on higher and lower planets within this material world, but at the coming of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. For example, in India, we know that many people are performing various karma kanda rituals or Vedic rituals which are meant for attaining higher planetary systems. And we see that many burning ghats, places where they burn dead bodies, are known as Swargadwar, or gates to Swarg, the heavenly planets. So the meditation is to attain the heavenly planets. And the entire worship is, there's so much piety. All going to temples, all worshipping, but all with the idea to go to some heavenly regions. So that kind of worship is considered materialistic, because it remains within the material world. So what is the benefit? Because everything in the material world is temporary. And basically Krishna is explaining that. He's explaining, yes, we may, life after life, be caught up in these type of rituals to bring us auspicious material circumstances. But then at the end of the day of Brahma, everything is annihilated. Everything simply annihilated. So, spiritual life means the eternal. That is true spiritual life. Therefore, we are interested in Krishna and devotional service to Krishna, because Krishna is not one we approach for material benefit. No. Krishna may give, he may not give. But if one wants material benefit, then we can worship various demigods and they can give us so many benedictions. In India, when you go early in the morning to a shop, you will see people are worshipping a picture of Lakshmi. Lakshmi. And yes, very busy offering the incense. You want to buy something? No. Wait. Puja. Yes. Then they do the puja. And they're very happy that the first customer is a sadhu. They take the sadhu's money, offer it to Lakshmi. Very nice. Yes. So it's all about in the here and now, about profit. So the Bhagavad Gita is the book that is different. It is the book that is describing about pure service, about understanding that why would we ask for blessings in this world when this world in itself is the problem? You see? We may ask, bless that everything will go well in this world, that we will be wealthy, that we will be healthy, that we will be rich, that we will be beautiful, and my wife also, and that I will have a nice car, and that my house will be very big and also very nice, and even the neighbors will be good. Puja here, puja there, Hanuman Chalisa on every window. That no Buddhas and ghosts will come. Yes, and we are chanting mantras for that, and we wear a string here, and we have so many rituals. When the construction is going on, there must be a pumpkin. there must be, and the face must be on the pumpkin, because if there is no pumpkin, what will happen? Yes? No, no, very necessary. When you have a new car, there must be chilies hanging off the mirror. That's absolutely important. Sabji without chili, maybe, but not car without chili. That will not go. So, all these things are going on. Yes, they must have. Yeah. For the sake of that everything in our life may just go very well. But the very material world, right, is the wrong place anyway. Right? Because the temporary nature of material existence is a fundamental problem that cannot be changed. There's no puja that can take away the influence of time. And the old lady, she was all bent over. Her nose was almost touching the ground. So some boys were joking, "Grandma, have you lost something?" "Fools, can't you see that I've lost the pearl of my youth?" she said. So this is happening to all of us, right? Gradually. We lose all our ability, all our strength. So in this way, materially, we will not win, we will only lose. You think, I'm winning, and then you lose. That's materially. But then, let me tell you about a temple which I like. It is the Radha Govinda temple in Jaipur. And I, somehow or other, I had to spend a lot of time in Jaipur. And in this temple, because I'm familiar with the whole situation, before the darshan of the deities, the doors are locked, a big padlock, very big, huge. And then there is a pandit who comes and gives a lecture. And the lecture is every time the same lecture. It is Sansara Sagar mein janma mrtyu chal raha hai. So in the ocean of samsara, the cycle of birth and death is continuously going on. Right? This lecture he gives 1,000 times. Even I can give it, so I've heard it so many times. And then behind him, there is a man, an old man, he's standing there, and he makes gestures like... So, you know, when I saw him, I thought, well, every temple has one, you know. So that was going on. But after a while, I found out that each time the speaker made an important point, he would raise a finger. So for the sleepers, you know, for the important point. So like that, it was going on. Then, at the end of the lecture, two men are walking to the door, and one is carrying a key, the other one walking next to him. Then he takes the key from the other man, opens the lock, and then the arati begins. Pujaris are offering the arati, so many people are there. And then when it comes to the time for taking the water that has been offered to the deity, two pujaris come out, not one, with a big pot full filled with water. And they just, not three drops, if you know what I mean, but buckets, I mean, you're soaked in one go. Bring a raincoat or an umbrella, I recommend it. Anyway, drenched. And the people, they open their mouths to catch the water. Everyone. Then at the side, the pujari begins to hand out tulsi. All the people are running to get the tulsi. Then in the back, there are these old men, and these old men are leading a fired up kirtan. They're old, but fired up. And it's something like, "Govinda, Govinda, 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 Govinda." It's just like that, seriously. I have studied it. I've seen many times. Without exaggeration. So it's a very fire of kirtan, they almost fall over every time. And the whole spirit is very enthusiastic. Some people get mahaprasadam, but they don't take themselves, they distribute it to others. And then I was standing in front of the deities and an old lady came and she started pulling my cloth. So I go, sannyasi! She goes like, and again, you know, so I go, not in the temple, you know, what are you doing, you know, not asking for money in the temple. No, then she gives me these little binoculars. He goes, look at the deity. I looked at the deity of Govindaji, and actually it looked really nice with the binoculars, and I saw that he was wearing a watch. You know, in India, if you don't have a watch, you are nobody. So anyway, Govindaji also had a watch. So it was very nice to see that the devotees, right? And I saw old people, but I saw they were so enthusiastic. They were not like burned out. They were full of life, because they were full of devotion. Then if you're quick, you can just make it from the Govinda temple. You walk fast, trunk down the back lane. Many people are going, and altogether we come in the Gopinath Mandir. And in the Gopinath Mandir, it's not old men that lead the kirtan, it's old ladies. And they are old. Their noses and chins are almost grown together. Oh. But they are dancing like gopis. And it is not difficult to see that only a short amount of time is separating them from becoming gopis in the spiritual world. Because this is the nice thing, that for devotees, time I am, I take away everything, but not for devotees. Because devotees, they gain with time. Because all our service, it accrues in our spiritual bank account more and more. So as the years are going on in service to Krishna, one gains more and more. And therefore, at the end of life, one is not losing. One knows, I'm going to the spiritual world, so it's getting better all the time. And therefore we see, you know, like even old man. I saw Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj, and he once came when we had a festival in Spain, at a big Harinam. It was a very long Harinam, longer than the one of yesterday. So I was leading the first part, you know. And then he was looking at me, what about me, you know, I'm still leading. Don't worry, Maharaj, he's long enough. Anyway, then it was his turn, so he came with a walking stick. And then, when it was his turn to lead the kirtan, he gave the walking stick to a brahmachari, and suddenly he started to lead this kirtan, he started to dance, Manipuri style, really fired up. And for a considerable amount of time, you know, intense kirtan, and then after, he took his walking stick from the brahmachari
and he walked away like an old man.
And it's like, during the kirtan he wasn't old at all. Because when we get taste, then we can transcend the body. Then we can just rise above all these physical limitations. This is spiritual life. And at the end of life, yes, one will go to the eternal spiritual world. So, this is our goal. So we are not interested in this auspicious ritual, that auspicious ritual. Like in Vrindavan, when there was the installation of Krishna and Balaram, Prabhupada had invited local brahmanas to do the puja. And so they did like a very complicated puja for 1 week. And then Prabhupada sometimes had to sit in the yajna and do various things. But Prabhupada explained, he said that actually the real installation is the kirtan. He said that's enough. But actually all this ritual, we're just doing it for the local people, because otherwise they think the temple hasn't been really opened. That's why they think that actually we depend on this ritual. He says, but actually the kirtan is simply enough. Because when the kirtan is there, we invite Krishna. Because in the installation of the deity, we invite Krishna to be present. So it's not some sort of magic. You must wave the incense this way and that way, and then have a garland with rupee notes and things like this to make it complete. No, it is not like that. Actually, all that is needed is kirtan. That invites Krishna, like that. But we are attached to the ritual. There was one marriage party, and a mother was making arrangements for her daughter, and everything was so many things to do. You know how it is with these marriages. Oh, 1,001 things to think of. Everything was there. She checked her list, everything complete. Then the last minute, just during the whole ceremony, suddenly there was a black cat. Oh my God. A black cat. At the time of a marriage, the last thing you want, so what to do? I mean, in total, just because it was the last minute, she just grabbed an empty basket, put it on top of the black cat. And somehow or other the whole ceremony went on, and that cat was under the basket and completely quiet. No problem. 30 years later, the daughter had grown up, and now it was her turn to organize a marriage. And everything, all the arrangements in there, and then everything, and she looked last minute, inspected, said, "Oh my God, we forgot one thing. What is it? We need a black cat." Then they managed to get some black cat, and they put it quickly under the basket, so now it's complete. So this is India. India is full of black cats. And they even have the black cat commandos, the government, see? So black cats are part of it. We do all this ritual, we don't know why, but somehow or other we do. It is done. So, that's not essential. That's not essential. Krishna doesn't look at the ritual. He doesn't look, did you offer the incense? And did you spin it around 4 times or 3 times? Did you do 3 times or no? Oh my God. Oh no. Did it 3 times? Oh no. Was before. Like this. One can get so caught up in the ritual. But it is about the spirit of the ritual. We're offering things that are pleasing to Krishna's senses. Oh my Lord, my dear Krishna. Yes, here is a nice scent, my Lord. Let me offer some incense. Yes. Oh yes, my Lord. A light we are offering to you so that we can, by this light, see the beauty of your beautiful features. We see your transcendental limbs. We first offer to your lotus feet. And then gradually, we go up around your lotus navel. And then, pangajanetraya. Then we go lotus eyes. And then the whole lotus body. Full darshan of the Lord we're getting through this light. In this way, we are worshipping, and it's not ritual, it is meaning, it is about pleasing Krishna, and at the same time, we are getting to see Krishna. We're chanting the name of Krishna. This is pleasing to Krishna. Why? Is it that Krishna is proud, just like me? If you go, Kadamba Kanana Swami, I go, I enjoy it so much when everyone says my name. And is Krishna like that? Krishna, Krishna, does he enjoy it? Krishna, yeah. No, Krishna is enjoying it. And what he is enjoying is that the devotee is entering into a loving exchange. You see, sadavo ridiyamayam, sadanam ridiyantraham, that I am in the heart of my devotee, and the devotee is in my heart, Krishna says. So it is two ways. It is not just that the devotee is dedicated to Krishna. Krishna is also dedicated to his devotee. So when the devotee again turns to Krishna, oh yes, that's pleasing to Krishna. So Krishna therefore is attracted when we chant his name. And Krishna manifests himself when we chant his name. This is the essence. This is the perfection. Huh? Why would you ask Krishna, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Why would you ask the Lord for a Mercedes-Benz? Huh? Oh, what is better than a Mercedes-Benz is Krishna. So why worship Krishna and ask him for something else? That's like, you know, quite good, you know. Krishna is the best you can get. There's nothing better. So don't ask Krishna for all kinds of things. Just ask Krishna, somehow or other, allow me to serve you. Because that means getting Krishna. That is the highest. That is the message of the Gita. That is the message of pure bhakti. And really, we would have never known. And although the Gita was around, and me too, I read many translations of the Gita, but I never figured that out until I read Srila Prabhupada's Gita as it is, the Bhagavad Gita as it is. The Bhagavad Gita written by the pure devotee, giving us the real purpose of the Gita. And it makes sense. It makes sense. So it is bhakti that is really the essence of everything. Before I was a devotee, I was traveling to India every year, and in order to finance that, India was very cheap in those days, so I had figured it out. If you work 2 months in the West, you can stay 10 months in India. So I thought, that's how I do it. I work in the West and spend it in India. That's what I did. I said, yeah, other people can work 12 months. I thought, not me. I work 2 months and 10 months. I sit in India, spend the money. So then in these 2 months, I would take any job. And once I had a job for the post, I had to sort post. And it was a night job. So they pay double in the night. So, you know, I was getting good money. And for 2 months, I could tolerate. In those days, they didn't have machines, and they were sorting the mail by hand. So somebody was making bundles of mail, and I was getting bundles. And then in front of me, there were many bags. Right? And each bag had a part of the city, and I was getting the bundle, and there was a number on the bundle, and then I'd throw it in a bag, you know. So it's sort of a sport, right? So I was there, you know, I was getting better at it all the time, you know. One. It's a 12, a 10, a 4, 3. So I was going. And then at one point the mafia came and they said, stop it. Stop it. We don't want that here. You got it? You're working too fast. I got it. Okay. The mafia knows how to get their point across. Yes, of course, sir. I understand. Anyway, so I slowed down. And that's how it is. Okay? Basically, you have a job. You try to work as little as possible. Take as much home as you can from the work. And a few souvenirs from work. And, you know. And that's the idea. Surf the internet half the time at work. That's ideal. That's the best, you know. That's what. Cut corners. That's the way the world works. Because it's not based on bhakti. When I finally moved into a temple and became a full-time temple devotee, they asked me, one of my first services was they asked me to clean a guest room. And it had to be done quickly. There was a program and many guests were coming. So I was sweeping the room. And then, you know, there was no time. So I had to do it very quick. So I lifted up a piece of the carpet and put quickly all the dust under the carpet. And then I thought, oh, Krishna can look under the carpet. Anyway, so I lifted the carpet and took all the dust again from under the carpet and then sort of threw it outside. And I realized, in bhakti, you can't just do it for show. In bhakti, you have to do it real. It's about doing a real good job. You're not used to it. At work, it's not allowed. But suddenly, in the world of bhakti, it has to be first class, everything. And for Krishna, first class. For Krishna, we have to be first class. That is Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, through the Bhagavad Gita, we have a grip on our life. The Bhagavad Gita is not just meant for special occasions, Gita Jayanti, Moksha Ekadashi, Moksha Ekadashi, is the Gita Jayanti, the appearance of Gita in December, right? And then we recite the whole Gita. What it means, nobody knows, doesn't matter, but we recite it anyway. As fast as possible, to finish it very quickly. We recite the whole Gita, everybody chanting, so nice, yes? Wonderful. No one understood the word, but it was a very, very auspicious occasion. So that's not the idea, right? Of course, it's always auspicious even to hear the Sanskrit of the Gita, but the Gita is not just meant for recitation. What if Kurma would come here on a Sunday and he starts to recite recipes? I tell you, Kurma, great cook, great recipes, and here he goes. And a pinch of salt and some little bit of ginger, and then cut the potatoes, 2 cubes. And this and that, right? And, well, after about 10 recipes, you know, he's rattling them off. And they go, amazing, amazing. Who knows so many recipes, right? But it's not as impressive as when Kurma goes in the kitchen. I remember in Melbourne, when Kurma used to cook the offerings, right? And then there was a whole ritual, because the rule was, no one can touch the Mahaprasadam. If you dare to touch the Mahaprasadam after it comes off the altar, if you try to steal anything, Kurma will kill you. Everybody knew it, right? So watch out, right? And it was serious about it, very serious. So anyway, then everyone would wait nearby for Kurma to personally collect it. And then he would sit people down and serve it out, and then he had cooked extra, and before you knew it, there was ice cream and what else. And every prep was just nectar. Everything was just perfect. What can we say? So, that's more exciting. When it comes to cookbooks, it's nice if someone can recite, but it's still nicer if someone actually cooks the preps. In the same way, the Bhagavad Gita is not just for recitation. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to, it's a key to life. It's meant to lift us up. It is meant to transform us. It is meant to help us, to give us a grip on life, which is otherwise full of chaos. Things are happening, and what's going on? I don't know how to deal with all of this. It's overwhelming. The three modes of material nature. Okay, the three modes of material nature. The Bhagavad Gita makes it clear what's going on. Karmani eva dikaraste mahaphale sukarachana. All right, you may work, but you're not working for the fruits of your labor. I'm working, 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 and then enjoying, 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 and working, and working, and enjoying, and working, and working, and enjoying, enjoying, and working, and working, and enjoying. Like this. This is not the goal. And when one reads the Gita, yes, we work, and we offer the results to Krishna, and we take a humble quota for our maintenance. It puts it all in place, and therefore, gradually, we rise above anxiety. The result of living by the Bhagavad Gita is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, Vai means without, and Kunta means anxiety. Without anxiety.
Do you also have an anxiety problem? Are you also always in anxiety about something? It's like, you know,
I mean, what are you in anxiety about? Everything. You've heard about a think tank, right? A group of people that sit and that think about complex things, a think tank. So I saw a cartoon and it was the worry tank. And all these people sit around the table, you know, biting their fingers, like, oh my God, you know, what if something will go wrong? And so, oh, what if nothing will go wrong? So there's always a reason to be in anxiety. But through the Bhagavad Gita, we come to a point where we are free from anxiety, Vaikuntha. So this is very nice. Very nice. Even kids, constantly in anxiety. See? That's anxiety. It's not enjoying, no? Some anxiety. No need, read the Bhagavad Gita. Then everything will be fine. This is actually, it's simple. So by reading the Gita, we become free from anxiety. What more do we want? It's that. And everyone needs that, you know, because no matter what facade we have, everyone has a facade, right? The success I am, and behind the facade is a lot of anxiety. Actually, about life and the way it's going, and this and that. And some people try to just forget it. You know, as soon as you start thinking, my God, you might think of your anxiety. So don't think. Stay busy, switch the channel, you know, keep on going all the time, stay plugged in, not for a moment ever think. Whatever you do, don't think. For God's sake, it's dangerous to think. Don't think. That's what they think. Watch TV, play with the computer, stay busy so that you don't think. Then you won't be in anxiety. That doesn't work either. Then sometimes you suddenly, it explodes. Then it's worse. Then it gets worse. Then you need to get zonked. So that also doesn't help. So really, the Bhagavad Gita is truly our shelter. Okay, here is the cake. I got the warning sign. There is a cake on the way. but the cake has to wait a little. But we're going to have a birthday party in a moment. Yes, so... The Bhagavad Gita is the book that solves all problems and makes everything positive. But like even a birthday, right? You know, the Bhagavad Gita makes it positive because you have a cake, but because you offer it to Krishna, it suddenly becomes like you become liberated. So this is the nature of the Gita. We can deal with the material energy, and yet we can turn it into yoga, into a spiritual process. Therefore, we're going to now soon continue with cake yoga. There's different kinds of yoga. You might have heard of Hatha yoga, Raja yoga, but cake yoga is pretty cool, I'd say. Especially cream cake yoga, which is one of the famous asanas. I can recommend it. Highly. Cake yoga is most suspicious because with every bite, right? With every bite, you go a level higher. Serious. So we're just getting ready for it. The cake is in its position almost. It will be brought out sort of more central. And then, I don't know where the... Ah, there he is. He has manifested. There's the cake.